From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-cape-wearing, ever-the-heart-throb of Bob After Dark, my friend, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Hey there, Bob, back here. Another exciting edition of Bob After Dark. I can only imagine what it's going to be like. I'm sporing the black on black, the black cape and the black
on black. I'm rocking orange.
It's like a Halloween.
It's a Halloween episode.
Orange and black. Happy Halloween. The veil is at its thinnest right now. Yes.
No, veil's actually on the thicker side of things.
When does it get thin again?
Spring equinox. Okay. You get the four times a year. Spring equinox, fall equinox, summer solstice, winter solstice.
So we're close.
And Samhain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess if you tempt it hard enough, the veil could be thin whenever you want it to be.
Yeah. Well, we'll work on it.
Weekend update from your account.
Bob, what did I do this weekend?
What'd
Let
you
me
do this
think
weekend?
Back and ponder what I did this weekend.
You know, I wish we had access to like really cool effects, because this would be like with like reenactment actors, so we could do like a Scooby Doo.
Well, you know, some weekends are more exciting than others, Bob. But you know, I just had a kind of a relaxing weekend. You know, we're at this time of the season where it's kind of simmered down, the festivities, holidays, what have you, wind down, and we're in this month of January, February. It's kind of like, oh, we're just getting by until spring. Although I'm not knocking. Some people love the winter, and if it's all for you, go for it. I know you're a big winter fan, aren't you?
No.
Oh, you're not. You're a big...
I hate wintertime.
Oh. You like the summertime.
No, I hate it.
You like the fall.
I like the fall. I like the fall. I like the spring. I like when I can walk outside in a flannel and be comfortable, you know.
What would you say?
Summer's not terrible. As I get older, I appreciate the warmer weather a little bit more.
You're more of a summer or winter guy. You're more of a...
I guess I prefer the winter over the summer.
Yeah.
It's easier to get warm. It's harder to get cooler.
Sure. There's only so much to take off.
But did you do anything exciting?
Bob... Nothing too exciting, no, Bob, but had a good weekend all in all.
That's good.
How about you? Anything going on?
What did I do? Oh, you know, I was at Anime Milwaukee.
This weekend?
Yeah, I didn't speak, though, so there's no Bob After Dark appearance there.
That's fine. You were there?
I goofed up. I totally goofed up, and I forgot to submit during before the deadline date, which happens, you know.
Happens.
So I didn't submit, and I was just there. I got to do some con booth work, and I was doing multimedia stuff for... you know, whatever, so shooting video and getting photos. And I bumped into a old Bob After Dark friend.
You bobbed into Bob.
Bobbed into a, there you go. That's what happens when Bob bumps into somebody. You got bobbed into.
You bobbed into someone. Who did you bob into?
Do you remember Sam Sawyer from the car? We interviewed her like last year about her cartoon
Salem.
Out,
she zoomed in, right?
She was there selling her art. And I go up to her. I'm like, hey, you remember that deep dish pizza I promised you? And she's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, it's Bob. And she knew me right away. And we talked. It was really cool. So it was really nice to play catch up with Sam for a little bit.
Did you know she was going to be there?
I did. Okay. So I was there during setup, and I saw the Sam Sawyer illustrations. And I'm like, I got to say hi finally. It was pretty cool to say hi to her. And Salem is sitting in some developmental stuff right now, so hopefully we could see Salem at some point.
Yeah, you know what, Bob? But what's stopping you? You should just have a little makeshift table, plop yourself right down. They wouldn't care. It's Bob.
And I quickly get removed from the convention.
Oh, come on, man.
No, it was all right, though. You know, I'm not used to doing cons incognito, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. No incognito.
Yeah, hey.
So, but, you know, I can't go anywhere without being recognized, I guess.
No.
So it's a decent time, and then I got to spend some time with Dr. Ben Vanerson.
Oh yeah, how's he doing?
Ben's doing great. We went to an occult store, Mystical Arts Alchemy, and it's up past Andersonville on the north side of Chicago. I can't think of the neighborhood off the top of my head, but the Alchemy Arts is what it's called, and the store is wonderful. It's ran by a really nice dude, and the store's jam-packed with everything you need for your mystical arts, and it was pretty cool to be able to do that. I mostly have been playing catch up on trying to sleep, man.
That
My sleeping
happens.
patterns have been so jacked up lately, but that's about it. My
Well,
weekend was filled like that and just
yeah.
trying to play catch up on relaxing my body now.
Well, before you continue, though, did you buy anything from the shop?
I did. I got some regular sage because I'm running low, and then I got some lavender sage, so sage infused with lavender. It's not only a cleansing, herb at that point, but it's also calming.
Oh, good.
And Florida water. Can't go wrong with old-fashioned bottled Florida water.
Now, what makes Florida water so special?
It's I'm not exactly sure the properties that go into it, but
Yeah.
it's a one part cologne, like a really like herbal like cologne, not like fancy stuff, but like I'm earthly, I should
I get
say.
it, yeah.
You've smelled Florida water before. If I popped open the bottle, you know
Probably,
exactly what
yeah.
I'm
I
talking
know
about.
moon water.
Yeah, moon
Yeah.
water or Florida water. Use that as a. It's like moon water, where you can use moon water. You could drink it, or you can use it to water your plants. Florida water, you kind of use it to not cleanse an area per se. When I guess you could sprinkle it around the house like you would moon water for like cleansing a space.
Yeah.
Florida water, I would use to cleanse my hands. So if I was messing around with some nonsense and I felt something kind of just attach, I would use it on the hands or the arms just to kind of brush off. Or if you're into tarot reading, you could sprinkle a little bit on your cloth for tarot. Or if you're, the witchy persuasion, you could use it to clean your altar too. It's a good little cleansing thing. And it also
Yeah.
smells really good
Any
too.
little bit helps there, Bob.
Every little bit helps, you ain't kidding. Anyway, I should
Yeah.
tell you what the show's
Oh,
about, right?
yeah, sure.
You
What's
know,
the
if
show
this is your
about?
first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we are your weekly podcast where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course,
Yeah.
Count Panic's favorite combination of a sundae.
Oh, a Sunday? Like what I like on a
Yeah,
Sunday?
what do you like on a sundae?
Like maybe some whipped cream on there,
What's the
you know?
base of the ice cream? Let's start with the
Oh, a
base.
base of vanilla for a sundae. I mean, I'm a chocolate guy, but I think if we're talking sundae here, because then you have hot syrup on top of it, some chocolate syrup.
You do the hot
I'm gonna
chocolate
do the hot
then.
chocolate on
Okay.
top of that, yeah. And it's cherries. You gotta have some cherries on that
Cherries, do you
too as
whip
well.
cream?
Cream,
Do you
yeah.
do
I'm not
nuts?
big in no, I'm not big into all that. Sometimes it's too
I
crunchy.
gotcha.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe some is it pecan? Maybe some
Pecans,
pecan on there.
that's the nuts you would put on
Yeah,
an
but not too
ice
much.
cream
Not too
sundae.
much. Geez, anything weird out? Maybe some. If we're going fancy, maybe some crumbled Oreos.
Oh, look at you. That is
What else? What
fancy.
else? Maybe some banana in there as
Oh, that would
well.
be called the banana split,
Banana
because
split? Is that a
that's
banana
a banana
split?
split.
No,
That's
you could have a chopped up banana in there, can't you?
my dad's favorite. It was a banana split, believe it or
I do
not.
like a good banana split there.
So we divide the show up here into two parts.
That made me think for a while.
I'm glad to
Yeah.
hear I could stump you. You know,
Yeah.
it's hard because I don't pre-plan that. And it's like, oh, I have an improv background, but it's hard to, you get to that
I
and you
really got to
learn the
think about
bit.
that. You know,
You, I,
what's
I don't
Sunday doing?
plan that ahead
Yeah.
of time asking you what questions. You'd think after a few years of doing this, I would run out of questions, but I always think of
There's
something
always
new.
something. There's always another question to
There's
be
always a
answered.
question that, and this is, you guys could use this on all of your first date knowledge. You can pretend that me and Connor are on our first date and
Yeah.
I'm getting to break the ice. You guys can take all these
Take
questions
it.
and run with it. So we divide the show up into two parts. First part's where we get the weird, creepy, spooky news of the week. This is where you, the fans, submit to me news articles, anything spooky or paranormal, ghosted major news articles, or weird advances in science that borderline on science fiction. Just a weird and unusual. I like to cover the news segments there, and then we dive into the lore of the week that is ripped straight from the diary of Dr. Ben Vanerson, where we look at the lore. We look at what, whatever's the meat and potatoes of the episode.
The meat and potatoes and the sundae, the cherry on top, Bob. The
The
cherry on.
dessert would be like if we were to still consistently do the Bob After Dark Unplugged,
Yeah.
which I enjoy doing that
People
still.
like that
People
stuff, yeah.
really like
They
that.
dug it.
All right, so this is my we have to start reminding people about this again. Did you know that you could leave a review for us on Apple Podcasts?
Bob,
It's been a
that's
while
the last
since
time we talked about that one,
it's
yeah.
been a while.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it.
It's
I'm
been a
like,
while.
I haven't bugged people about this. So if you go on Apple Podcasts and you leave us a good review, Count Panic will give you a shout out live on the show.
We'll give you a toast
We'll give you
live
a
on
toast. We
air.
haven't done that in a while. And you
No.
could also review us on Spotify. But Spotify is a quick 5-star review. You just click the stars and you're happy with it. So I can't give you a shout out there. But if you leave me a review on Apple Podcasts, Count Panic will be happy to
We'll be happy.
we'll be happy to give you
send you an 8x10 or something. I don't know. All right. We have 8x10s.
We 8x10s really big, man.
People always do. They hang them on the walls at restaurants and everything.
You know, someday, somebody's going to come up to us to take the picture of us, and we're going to be hung up at like Big Frank Sausage or we'll the wheel down the street here.
Anywhere. We'll hang in your restaurant.
Yeah, listen, Bob, fans of the podcast here, you want me and Count Panda to come out to your restaurant? Let us know.
Yeah.
We'll come out. We'll hang the photo. We'll do a live show from your episode, and we'll take a picture. And
Portillo's has all those photos in there, right?
Yeah. So you can, but you can have one of me and Count Panic. All you got to do is just reach out and ask.
Yeah.
All right. So let's dive into the weird, spooky news of the week. This first article actually comes to us from a dear friend of the podcast.
Who?
Pat.
Oh, Pat.
Pat, yes. From Ghostly. Yeah. He sent this over to us. It's from ladbible.com, and it is titled, Seriously Creepy Drone Footage Captured Black-Eyed Girl Running Through Canuck Chase Forest. This is written by Joe Harker. It was published not that long ago. This, I'm going to warn you right now, Count, because I know what you're thinking, all right? I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And this is definitely a Gary Witch situation.
What?
Yeah, the Gary I'm going to read it anyway.
All right.
Canuck, by the way, it's C-A-N-N-O-C-K. If I'm pronouncing that wrong, I'm sorry. Drone footage taken over Canuck Chase Forest shows what looks like the paranormal black-eyed girl rumored to haunt the place. When going out ghost hunting, the best you could probably get is a glimpse of some grainy slight of an unusual figure, which could be a spectral spirit or just someone having a walk. Canuck Chase is considered to be one of the most haunted spots in the UK, with a string of spooky sightings made throughout the years, and one thing people keep going back to is the specter of a black-eyed girl. Over the years, many people have claimed to see ghostly children with sunken black eye sockets lurking in the trees. People aren't sure whether there are meant to be ghosts of victims of a terrible disease from centuries ago, or were slain by a monstrous killer in the 1960s. One claim says that these ghosts of the black-eyed children are people who died of diphtheria, D-I-P-T-H-E-R-I-A. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. I'm not familiar with it. An outbreak in the 1800s, which the disease making the eyes appear sunken and dark. Another says that there are the ghosts of victims of Raymond Morris, who murdered three children between 1965 and 1967. Of course, there's a claim of people who don't believe in ghosts, saying this whole thing is made up. I believe in ghosts, but I'm going to tell you that this footage is wonk. I'm telling you now, and you guys are going to follow along, because I'm going to put this up on the Children of the Night page tonight, and you guys can go take a look at it. Tonight being the time we recorded, but I digress. While the drone footage from a true believer spotted something on the edge of the tree line and swooped down for a closer view, and cameras say they saw a mysterious figure lurking around. People watching it thought it looked potentially like a ghost, with one saying Canuck Chase is well known for things like this, and the second saying it was seriously creepy footage. Someone else more skeptical asking whether they drove the drone, you try saying that five times fast, closer to the girl for a better look, and another person arguing that it was fake. I am telling you, this is fake. Another claimed it was obvious that a spectral spirit was a person dressed up. But there are more other supposed encounters with the spirit of the creepy child, with fright seeker Tom Buckmaster spending the night in the woods and getting freaked out by weird noises. Meanwhile, another paranormal seeker claims to have met the black-eyed children in Canuck Chase, which he claims is also home to werewolves, a pig man, and allegedly even a Bigfoot. Although the last one, of course, is the British version of an American classic. If you're intent on going to try to find the black-eyed girl for yourself, then there are pretty frequent ghost walks that you can go on. A paranormal investigator believes that he heard voices and warnings from these so-called black-eyed children while exploring the Canuck Chase Woods in Stratfordshire. His names are pretty long here. Count. The woods are the same ones that Raymond Leslie Morris murdered the seven children and seven-year-old child Christy Darby in 1967, with the area known by ghost hunters as being home again to these black-eyed children. So there's a lot of different footage of these things that have come up over the time, but this new one is this drone. I'm going to send over the article to you right now. I was going to send this to you before and it completely slipped my mind, so you could kind of get an opinion on it yourself. So be ready for that. The best way I can describe it to you guys while I'm sending this over to Count Panic, it looks like a person in a floral dress. If you're flying a drone and you catch this thing, I guess I don't know. How do I want to say this? Okay, I sent you over the link.
All
Let me
right,
know what
let me
you
take a look
think.
at this link here.
It's hard to say, right? I don't necessarily like to believe that everything you see is real. I am on the believing side of the spectrum, but this, it doesn't even look like a ghost, man.
I'm looking at some of the photos you sent here, Bob. It looks like sometimes it could be like a figure. But then again, I believed in the Gary Witch, so what do I know about any of this
I
stuff?
got, but man, it's so strange because it looks like a solid person.
It
So,
does, it does.
and I don't want to say it was staged. Maybe this person was legitimately out hiking through the
Very
woods.
eerie, though,
It is kind of unsettling, I
If you're
guess.
walking around, you see that. I mean, it's spooky, Bob. But you know, to fill some folks in about the Gary Witch in Gary, Indiana. There, a few years back, there was a sighting of a witch on a swing set, just swinging back and forth, and people said, and people that never knew that was the only time you saw the Gary Witch. Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, this, you're right. This probably is just somebody in a get-up, maybe.
Yeah, man, that Gary Witch, let me tell you.
That Gary Witch was something.
Hashtag panic steak.
Yeah, Bob, I'm going to be with you on this one. I'm looking at it. It does look like it's just a solid figure, not transparent or anything. So but who knows? Could be underneath that cloak there? I'm not sure, but
not a ghost.
Not a ghost.
Not believing it. Don't care.
I'm with you on this, Bob.
Sorry. Now look, this is my last time saying it. I am on the believing side of the spectrum.
Yeah.
But I'm not an overzealous believer. Not every bit of evidence that you send me, I'm going to believe. This is one of those times. I believe that there is a potential that there could be these stories of these black-eyed children wandering about. I believe that could be a total thing. I did a podcast episode back during the pandemic talking about the black-eyed children. You guys could go back and listen to that episode. It's really good. So, I mean, it's possible. But this is not one of those times. I don't believe it. Nope.
Yeah.
It doesn't even look like a kid.
No.
No, it looks like a middle-aged woman.
I know.
Okay, anyway,
people
let's
just
move
have some people like to mess people's minds up out there, I tell you.
All right, this one was sent in from listener Mark. Multiple witnesses report camouflage creature straight from the movie Predator in Chicago. This was done by the Singular 14 website. It's written by Tobias and Emily Wayland. Lou Strickler, Phantom and Monsters, recently received a report from a woman who said she had seen a transparent human figure that shimmed a yellowish white color last September in Chicago's Groveland Park neighborhood. The quote goes as follows: "I'm no storyteller, but I will try to recall as much detail as possible. Now, my experience happened on September 2nd, 2022, so not that long ago. I had been out through the day running a few errands here and there for my father, who was elderly. Later that day, I returned back to my dad's apartment, which just happens to be a tall residential building in Chicago. His apartment is 6 floors up. At some point during the early evening, I decided to go out and on the balcony for a quick smoke. I was standing there just staring into the thin air, not really thinking about much or doing much. As I stood there with my cigarette in hand, I shifted a position and began to observe a very large tree about 20 feet away. It was roughly about 15 feet below of me, and I noticed that one of the branches of this tree was bowing quite heavily, which I remember now thinking back was quite odd at the time. As I'm staring at this branch and trying to make sense of what my eyes are seeing, I have this horrible feeling coming over me, the most intense sense of dread and fear. It was almost like every part of my body was screaming at me to turn and run, but I didn't know why. At this very instant, the bowing branch that I had just seen observing began to shake violently, despite my internal instincts still screaming at me to leave. Curiosity had now gotten the better of me, and I started to move along the railing to get a closer look. Then I saw it. What I saw at first was a small glimmering form. As I stared a bit closer, the glimmer then became what I can only describe as a transparent human being that shimmered a yellowish-white color. I snapped out of my fixtured state and quickly took a step back from the railing. It suddenly hit me that what I was looking at was something straight out of the movie Predator, more specifically when the Predator is using camouflage. At that very moment when I realized what I just seen, this thing dropped out from the tree and then hit the ground below. It landed directly behind a man who just happened to be walking past the tree at the time. The man immediately spun around, assuming that someone had thrown something at him, and the next thing I noticed was a cloud of smoke or dust arising from the ground behind the man. I waited for some time expecting to see this thing reemerge from the dust or smoke, but it was completely gone. At the same time, another neighbor just a few floors down had observed exactly the same thing as me and managed to confirm all the same details. The neighbor and I had managed to track down the man who was walking past a few hours later. We had a conversation with the man, and he said that he'd felt an impact but didn't see anything. When he turned around, he also went on to report that he felt the same sense of dread that I experienced only an hours before. Does anyone have any idea of what these beings are? I can only feel that they are dangerous. Strickler said that on the cell phone and was eventually able to interview the witness by telephone. I was eventually able to witness both witnesses by telephone, Strickler said. They both are apprehensive about this entity. The woman who submitted the original report said she believes that the entity still inhabits the area, that she occasionally experiences a feeling of dread when she's visiting her father. The Chicago metropolitan area, along with numerous other locations within a radius of a few hundred miles surrounding Lake Michigan, has been on the site of dozens of flying humanoid sightings. One that your boy here has seen himself. I was featured on the Small Town Monsters Search of the Lake Michigan Mothman. You should check that out. I'm on there. Resembling the infamous Mothman reported from Point Pleasant, West Virginia in 1966 and 1967. So that is my story, and I am sticking to it, Count Panic. What is your take on the potential predator wandering around? What part of the neighborhood did I say it was? Groveland Park.
Bob, who am I to say it doesn't exist? I wasn't there to see it in public, and there's no photo that we know documenting much like this witch in the woods here. But, Bob, you said it yourself. You've seen things with your own two eyes, and these folks claim to do the same as well. So who am I to doubt them? Who am I to doubt you? These creatures do exist.
Okay. I'm not going to be that person to say, I'm calling it out here.
Yeah, how do you, there's no
evidence. I have legitimate questions about the sighting.
Okay.
If you are that far back, which you're 20 something odd feet away, which is a decent amount.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you're not only 20 feet back, but you're 6 floors up. You said your dad lives on the 6th floor, right? Mm-hmm. If you're that far away and you're looking down, how hard would it be to make out something that's transparent, that's leaving almost like a signature versus a solid structure? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that does make sense, Bob. Yeah,
Before I get to this point, what's the hashtag panic stake?
Who am I to doubt that?
Okay. Did I ask you this already?
You asked.
Oh, my apologies.
You didn't do hashtag.
You
didn't do hashtag.
Okay,
so
that's my question on the sighting is, if you're that far back and that far up, why aren't you able to see this thing?
Yeah.
Like, how are you able to see this thing? I worked in the field of vision for many a long time before, moving into the Bob After Dark verse full time. I've never heard of somebody with that good a vision.
Even with the 2020 vision.
Even with 2020, being that far up and that far back, if it's camouflaged in, you would have to pick up on just like the slightest glimmer. And if you're doing it later at night, maybe like later in the afternoon, right at twilight, I guess, maybe if the sun's hitting it directly at the right level. I'm not doubting the person seeing this. I have questions about it. That's all.
You have concerns.
Do you believe it's real?
Yeah, Bob. I would. If I had something to see, the vision thing makes sense. But I mean, I'm gonna give these people the benefit of the doubt here. It's real.
Do you know where Groveland Park is?
Can't say I've ever been there, no.
No, I asked Mark. I said, hey, where's Groveland Park at? Because I'm not familiar. Yeah. Groveland Park's in, like, Bronzeville area. So, south side, closer to, like, McCormick Place, University of Chicago.
Not too far.
That area is so heavily populated that if you have a creature that's wandering around there, man, that's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you got to think when you're looking at cryptid sightings, you don't typically see them. You know, when they say there's been the Chicago Mothman sightings, they weren't in Chicago proper. They were around Chicago. Yeah. You know, the major one was at O'Hare. Yeah,
he's not at the Sears Tower.
No, he's not at Sears Tower. So you don't see these things in heavily populated areas. If I was a cryptid, which if you ask some of the fans out there, they'll tell you that I am a cryptid. you don't see these things like that. They're usually in remote areas or wide open fields. The airports are a good example because there's nothing there. It's just airport, right?
Makes you wonder, why don't they? There's got to be one roaming amongst the city people in the big
me and you,
the big city.
Me and you.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, we're roaming about, but yeah, that does make sense, Bob. But for once, I would like to see a Mothman in a populated area. Maybe we're just walking around. Doing his daily tasks.
There was, if you listen to the Chicago Mothman sightings, there are some of the ones where they said they looked up and seen it. I don't know how much I believe in the validity of those. Again, if I'm this mythical beast and I am self-aware of where I'm supposed to go, I'm going to avoid downtown Chicago like the plague. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But who am I to judge?
Yeah, who are you to judge?
Let's move on. This last news story I actually found from one of the paranormal groups I belong in, and it is written from Paranormality Magazine. Paranormality. Paranormal.
What a name that is.
How would you take a stab at pronouncing that?
Paranormality.
Paranormality. There you
go. It's tricky to say, Bob.
Jeez, paranormality. Man, I got them all today. Paranormality. Paranormality Magazine. Had an article written by Jack Kirby. Don't be confused with the Jack Kirby from the comic verse. I don't think it's the same one. On Wednesday, February 1st, around 9:45 p.m., a woman in her 40s contacted the 911 emergency line and reported that a mysterious chupacabra, as well as an uncommon capybara, were both inside and outside of her dwelling located in West Saginaw Road, in Jerome Township. This is in Michigan, by the way. Sheriff Myron Green later commented on the strange occurrence. She's reporting an animal out back. She believes it possibly could be a chupacabra, says the dispatcher in the Midland County Central Dispatch of the call. What's the animal? The officer asks. Chupacabra, sir. She described it, the dispatcher replies. The officer replies, he's en route. There's a high amount of strange sightings of that area lately, by the way, the officer adds. When the deputy, I'm sorry for laughing.
Yeah, it's humorous a little bit.
The deputies arrive at the apartment. They interviewed the woman and thoroughly searched the premises. They verified there was no evidence of any strange animals, said Green, and adding that the woman later provided some insight on why she saw the creatures. After that, she said that she was coming off some intoxicating substances.
Yeah,
that
doesn't.
Deputies decided to forego issuing a citation to the woman for a phone call. She honestly somehow believed that these animals have been there, Green said. Mysterious and unknown, the chupacabra is a cryptid, a creature not officially acknowledged by zoologists that possesses legendary status on par with Sasquatch or Nessie. This elusive beast has earned its name from Spanish folklore as the goat sucker for its penchant for drinking blood of goats. Over the past few decades, the creature has become part of Puerto Rican folklore due to the reported sightings since the 1990s. It is commonly associated with attacks on goats and cattle as well as drinking their blood, all of which have caused it to gain immense popularity in the world. From South America to Central America, the creature has been characterized as a small two-legged reptile. However, in areas of southwestern United States, it is often represented more like an animal that with four legs similar to that of a canine. Hashtag panics take.
Yeah, Bob, this is interesting. But here's the thing. You said a key earlier, which you said, there may have some beverages been involved here. Which is something you never want to... Again, you learned this. Either you're ghost hunting or your cryptids are out there. You can't be drinking while this stuff is going on.
My number one rule of paranormal investigations, don't drink before you do it.
So the validness to the story is kind of, you know, you choose to disbelieve it a little bit because alcohol may have been a factor in the whole evening there, Bob. So I can't take this one as seriously as the last one just for that reason alone.
No, I've been there, right? You drink a little too much and you start seeing things or, you might do something else. You might start seeing things or hearing things. Think long and hard before you call the police. Long and hard.
Yeah.
Because, yikes, someday you're going to end up on a Chicagoland radio show podcast where I'm like, man, that's rough. I feel for the person because obviously that's it. Like when you sober up, there is definitely going to be a level of embarrassment. Like, oh my God, there's a chupacabra and a curry papa running around, you know, like what a mixture.
It's a lot to take in there, Bob. Absolutely. You're right. Don't drink and ghost.
Don't drink cryptid and ghost. You know, that's a sticker idea for us. Don't drink and ghost. Yeah. Well, all right. Cotton, you ready to take a quick break?
We should do it, yeah.
All right, folks, stick around. You're about to be hearing some words from a podcast you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
And we're back.
That was a little longer than normal there, Bob.
Sorry, Count. I I had to blow my nose.
You had me in.
That's why I was sniffling like partway through, you know. When you do the live radio and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you try to stop like involuntary like movement with, you know, your breathing, sneezing, coughing, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
I was sitting here and I'm like, oh man, I gotta blow my nose. I'm gonna sneeze. Luckily,
I was in suspense there.
Thank you. I appreciate you being professional and watching my hand motions.
I'm glad we got that.
What did you do during break?
Well, that was actually a longer break than I'm used to. So I got a lot more done in that break than normally. you know what I did, Bob? I made my way. I had a banana split in each and every state.
Oh, that's great. You want to know what I did during break?
What'd you do?
I blew my nose.
You blew your nose. You blew your nose.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Count, guess where we're at.
We're in Hammond, Indiana.
Well, yeah, I know we're in Hammond, but we're in February.
Oh, yeah,
You know what February is here on Bob After Dark?
What is it?
It's Creepypasta Month.
Oh, okay.
And we did a Creepypasta, Creepypasta episode last year that I'm not happy with.
What do you mean?
We did our Back Rooms episode, and I just feel like... I feel like that episode was phoned in, and I wasn't very happy with it, so I want to do it again, especially because the Back Rooms is growing in popularity at, like, an alarming rate.
The Back Rooms.
The Back Rooms, and we'll explain what that is. There's a popular YouTube, like, video series that's going around, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit, and then they're making a Back Rooms movie. There's several video games. There's many, many, many readings of what they are. So, I want to do a brand new episode, a brand new look at the Back Rooms.
All right.
So welcome to Creepypasta Month.
Revision, almost.
We're revisiting the Back Rooms.
Okay.
All right. My nose is clear, so we're ready to go.
Your nose clear?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right.
So, the Back Rooms is an urban legend and creepypasta that originated back in 2019. On a 4chan thread about unsettling images. one of the first examples of liminal spaces in internet aesthetic, which usually busy locations depicted as unnaturally empty. The back rooms are an endless maze of office rooms which are entered by no clipping, out of reality and wrong areas. As popularity grew, the internet users have expanded upon the original concept by creating different levels and entities which inhabit the back rooms. Fan-made video games, collaborative fiction wikis, and YouTube videos have all been inspired by the back rooms. On May 12, 2019, an anonymous user started a thread on the Paranormal X board of 4chan, asking users to post disquieting images that just feel off. One of the submissions was the original photo of a back room. A picture of a large carpeted open room with yellow wallpaper and fluorescent lighting. The photo had a Dutch angle. Another user replied to the first description of the back rooms. 600 million square miles of randomly segmented empty rooms, which could can only be accessed by no clipping, out of reality in the wrong areas. No clipping is a video game term for commands which allow the player to walk through objects. The first ever creepypasta about the back rooms has been written as such. So this was back on May 12th, 2019. If you're not careful and you no clip out of reality in wrong areas, you'll end up in the back rooms where it's nothing but stink of old moist carpet, the madness of mono yellow, the endless background noise of fluorescent lights at maximum hum buzz, and approximately 600 million square miles of randomly segmented empty rooms to be trapped in. And God save you if you hear something wandering around nearby, because it sure as hell has heard you. And that was just by a random person, and thus started the backroom trends.
So this is all that kicked it off here, Bob. This is the one that started it all?
Yes.
Huh.
So the location of the original backrooms photo, which I posted today on the Bob After Dark verse, you should go take a look at that, is unknown, and it is possible that the image was procedurally generated digital composition. Mark Frauenfelder, associated with the backrooms with Canospia, a word coined by the Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows as the eerie, forlorn atmosphere of place that usually bustling with people, but is now abandoned and quiet. As the creepypasta grew in popularity, some users have claimed to actually visit the backrooms in real life and often other shared memes across social media. On subreddits, our creepypasta, and later now our backrooms is its own subreddit completely, users began sharing the stories about the backrooms. A fandom began to develop around the backrooms, and creators have expanded upon the original story of the creepypasta by creating additional floors or levels and the entities that populate them. We're going to talk about them in a minute.
Yeah.
Happy Mag noted in a particular two world levels. We're going to talk about level 1 and level 0 here in just a minute, so we won't talk about that, but the fandom began dividing into groups such as originalists, fans who prefer the original backrooms, and expansionists who will continue to expand the backrooms on a whole new levels. A Reddit user by the name of Litbeep created the subreddit Our True Backrooms, focusing only on the original version. ABC News said that unlike Phantom's surrounding existing properties, the lack of a canonical back rooms made drawing a line between authentic storytelling and jokes difficult. It grouped the back rooms into an emerging genre of collaborative online horror, which has also included the SCP Foundation. We've talked about that on the show before. I'll make the comparison here in a sec. In March 2022, our backrooms has 157,000 members, and the creepypasta began to amass a following on TikTok. Dan Eckerson, creator of original television series Servanence, named the backrooms as his main influences while working on the series. The number one person who's creating a lot of content for these concepts of the backrooms is a found footage YouTube channel called The Backrooms Found Footage, all done by a 17-year-old director by the name of Kane Parsons Kane Pixels on YouTube. I have reached out to Kane to try to interview him. Haven't heard back yet. If we get one, it'll just be a follow-up. Kane,
sure.
Kane's gotten his videos so popular that he's getting like an actual movie deal.
Yeah.
Is that good for him?
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. So let's talk about it, right? So the Backrooms is this, let me simplify it. It is a collective of people who are creating the story, and because there's no original beginning, people could kind of go in any which way they want with it. And the concept of the Backrooms is an open source part of fiction. So people can write whatever they feel like the Backrooms are known for. So I picked out several of the levels that I really like, and then I picked out some of the my favorite entities that lurk around them. I'm a big fan of creative collective fiction because people kind of get together and they write something spooky together, and people could judge it. And now there's people that are branching off. Oh, I want the Backrooms to stay this liminal space of office rooms that just never end, and now people are coming up with these really outrageous different rooms that exist that I'm going to talk about here on the show today of, you know, exploring, right? And the found footage series is brilliant. It shows a couple people that have gotten trapped in the back rooms, and over time they've been able to send video footage back to YouTube so we could see it and what the horrors lie within the back rooms. Or sometimes they're just all out silly. We talked about the SCP Foundation before, and in case you guys don't remember, the SCP Foundation is a collective of secure, contain, protect creatures, objects, entities, anomalies, whatever. Mm-hmm. They try to secure or protect them, contain them, so they don't get out into the world. Some of them are absolutely horrifying, like a statue that if you turn away comes back and tries to break your neck. To very silly ones, like a fortune cookie that will always tell your fortune no matter what. It can't kill you, but it'll just tell your fortune. That'll come true, exactly.
That helps, too. So really, these could be, what you say, Bob, this could be really anything when you think about it. I mean, it's all the power of the mind, right?
Yes. Yeah. And how you get there is, so there's been several creepypastas written about, like, how you get there. But the general consensus is these no clipping. I said before it's a video game term where when you clip out of bounds means like you left the boundaries of the game and now you're wandering around outside the level. This is the same idea. So the idea is that maybe you're in a mall after closing and you went through a door that you shouldn't have and now you popped into the back rooms. That's just one of the many creepypasta explanations of how you get there. I actually believe in a very basic concept of the back rooms. Mm-hmm. I really do. I don't necessarily, I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys, oh yes, everything I'm reading on the back rooms, that realm is real. But I do believe in the concept of people here moving into some sort of parallel universe, right? Mm-hmm. You look at this, we talked on the Ritual Pasta episode about the elevator game, mm-hmm. where you press a series of buttons and things happen, and eventually you walk out of the elevator in this, like, etherical plane. I truly believe that, A, we could do it in our dreams, if you're an experienced, planeswalker, and you're walking around the planes of reality, or lucid dreams are another one. If you're lucid dreaming and somehow you make your way through your own dreamscape and you're popping through and, you know, there's different, I believe in that concept. So the reason why I find the back rooms so interesting is because I truly believe that there's a potential that these things are possible. Because you never know. Yeah. I believe, you know, when you're moving around in your dreams or you're, you know, floating about in reality, when your etherical form leaves your body, you go someplace different or you can wander someplace different. And that's, in essence, I guess, a version of a back room, right? And some people may think of a happy place. Some people may just think of a really liminal, creepy office space. But let me, now that you know what it is, let me chat with you guys a little bit about some of the things that lurk in the back room. So there is an entire list of entities to these. I'm just going to pick, I have like three or four of ones that I've picked that I think are A, the most popular, and B, are the most interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is entity number 3, the Smiler. It inhabits the majority of the levels. By the way, the things I'm reading here are from the new people, the people that believe in the expansion of the Backrooms. So everything I'm reading here is from like the newer fandoms, not the true Backroom people. All right. So this thing is believed to habitate like the majority of the levels in the Backrooms. Smilers are generally hostile, and there have been many confirmed sightings of them. They can be identified by their signature reflective eyes and teeth gleaming in the dark. The best way to escape a Smiler is to keep eye contact Smilers tend to reside in dark areas on level 2 and 3, and their base is known as the Smiling Room. The Smiler is attracted to light and will chase anything they see with a light, so distracting it by throwing a light source at it would be a great use for an escape. The entity will only start to attack if you panic or retreat, or if a loud noise is made. Keep eye contact and move away slowly to ensure your survival. Using a smiley exterminator will cause the entity to retreat or lose its senses for a long period of time. The smiler exterminator is just a item that somebody claims you could find, because it's right. Kind of like a video game.
It's good to know, yeah.
The biology. Smilers have a long smile with multiple sharp teeth and white glowing eyes. It is unknown what else it has for biology, though it is rumored to have a physical body, which cannot be seen with human eye. It is rumored that they are non-human, alien-like bodies with arms and legs that could be bent in unnatural ways, but that is unconfirmed. It is unknown how the Smiler was originally discovered, as it is extremely common in most of the levels in the back rooms. The earliest modern report of the Smiler was when an anonymous Reddit user posted about them running from a glowy smiley thing. Before that, the group known as the Lost had descriptions while they called ones that smile. I have a list of do's and don'ts. Do, keep an eye contact, walk away slowly. Keep quiet and do not make any loud sounds. Use a smiler exterminator if you're lucky to have one. Turn off all sources of light that you have equipped. Do not run away unless the smiler starts to chase you. Make loud noises and keep your light sources on. I've played the Backrooms, one of the Backrooms video games on Steam. I did to prepare for this episode. These things are terrifying. So imagine you're in like this really dank, like hidden office area, right, Count?
Yeah.
And you're looking out into the dark, and all you see are two dots and a smile of just white light.
Yeah.
That's glowing, and it is staring at you.
That's terrifying.
Oh, man. I'm watching the Twitch channel here soon so you guys can see me playing this. I legit jumped out of my seat the first time I saw one.
Because these games, you play these.
I played it to prepare for the episode, yeah.
But you play these games, and some of these games, again, really give you nightmares. It's like some people say movies give them nightmares, but these video games give you nightmares because of stuff like that you've seen, Bob.
Yeah, and when you're, walking through an etherical plane and you're astral projecting your body out somewhere, these are potential things that you could find that exist out there in the ether. This is a very possibility of something absolutely terrifying that could come after you.
Yeah.
This is probably the most popular entity in the entire Backrooms mythos. Do we have a caller?
It probably is. We'll
take it live.
You want to take it live?
Yep.
We'll take it live.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, oh, hey there, old Bob.
Oh, hey there, John. How's it going?
Man, I really got scared when you guys took that break, and I heard dead air for about 15 minutes.
15 minutes?
Yeah, John, I was gone for like 15 seconds.
Yeah, but Bob, that's like you said, that was a long break. I really thought something happened to you guys over there.
Oh, John, I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm okay.
But, hey, you know what? I can't really ever say in my life I ever had anything, unusual happen to me as far as, paranormal activity, stuff like that. But, I walk my dog every day at Wicker Park, and even this kind of weather. But so the other day when if you picture me coming down the boulevard and then making a turn by the flagpole there going west, if I'm going on Ridge Road going west, as I'm approaching the driving range there, okay, I hear the sound of somebody hitting the golf ball. So this was a couple weeks ago, Of course, nobody's out there. I mean, it's winter. The golf course is closed. But, I thought it was strange. I didn't pay much attention to it. But this happened to me several times after that, including the other day. And I only hear it. I don't hear it constantly like in the summertime when people are driving the golf ball. It's just maybe once or twice. And then the other day I stopped, there's a flagpole there, and I'm thinking maybe the wind is clinging that rope against the pole there, but that wasn't it. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, that's that wouldn't make the sound of somebody hitting the golf ball anyway. So I guess that's my story that I'd have to share, that, you know, now when I'm walking, you know, and like I said, when I pass it up, I don't hear it. When I approach it, it sounds like somebody's right there hitting the golf ball. So that's my story.
How do you explain that, Bob? Well, I have two explanations. There's a logical explanation, and then there's a fantastical one. Which one do you want?
Well, I mean, this is something I ain't making up. But it sure sounds like a golf ball, you know.
So,
and right at that point where I'm approaching that driving range.
Okay, so the logical explanation is people golf all year round. They'll go out there and they'll bring crap golf balls and they'll just hit something out there. So it's possible they got chased away as soon as they went out there to tee something up. I know, because I golf my regular life outside of Bob After Dark, and those are things that I do. So that's my logical explanation. My unlogical explanation, the fantastical one, is you, my friend, have entered what is called a time slip.
Wow.
A time loop, as you will. It is very possible that when we talk about energy is neither destroyed, right? So it's very possible that what you did was you walked through something and you time slipped and you heard this golf ball being hit as if it actually happened. Kind of like a ghost, but not dead. Does that make sense?
Well, that definitely has to be it, because the golf course is closed. I mean, you can't get any golf balls and nobody's out, you know, you got snow and ice out there. You know, nobody's bringing a bucket of balls over there to hit. And I could see if anybody's there, you know, I could see if somebody was maybe, I shouldn't say crazy enough to go out there, but, you know, there's nobody definitely out there hitting a golf ball. And it's just at that certain point where I get there is when I hear it, you know, and then when I pass it up or when I stop and see if I, you know, there may be something maybe something's out there. But there's, you know, there's no, the place is closed. There's no workers, nobody out there.
Sure.
So I'm thinking number two is maybe the most logical explanation of it all.
I'll have to do an episode on time slips here in the near future then, Pat John. I appreciate you calling in.
All right, Bob. You take care.
You too. We'll have a good night.
So you're saying here, Bob, time slip.
Time slip. We'll talk about that.
That makes sense, Bob.
No, I feel like you're making fun.
No. I didn't mean it like that. I know I said that didn't mean it like that. I said that does mm-hmm. that meant to say that makes sense, Bob. I should have said it more directly, but okay.
All right, you ready to move on?
To the next room.
No, we're talking about the next entity.
The next entity.
The next entity is the Death Moth.
Death Moth.
Death Moths are giant moths that inhabit the back rooms. While the male Death Moths are mostly harmless and possibly even tameable, the female moths are several times larger, can spit acid, and are entirely hostile. Death Moths are attracted to light, so if you hear some fluttering of wings nearby, make sure you put any light source out. Smaller Death Moths inhabit 2, 3, and 5 on the level scale, and some of the more dangerous only appear in level 5. While their hive is centralized in where the king and queen are, they are completely taken over the level and have the only things there are besides the mythical beasts. On behaviors, Death Moths vary in hostility and biology on the level they are found in. The hive, considered to be the source of the Death Moths, is where they are the deadliest and most aggressive. However, individual Death Moths on every level vary in danger. The Death Moths are giant moths, although they don't share any similarities with normal moths. The majority of their lifespan, birth, death, and are completely unknown. And it is unknown where the Death Moth is actually found, but it seems that the group known as the Lost call these entities the Files of Terror. Bob's do's and don'ts: do avoid avoid contact and do not act aggressive, and don't attempt to aggravate the moths or disturb the hives. Let's go over a couple more here. The next one I want to talk about is the Skin Stealer. This is my last entity I'm going to talk about, and then let's dive into some of my favorite levels, shall we?
Yeah.
All right, so this one's called the Skin Stealer.
The Skin Stealer.
The Skin Stealer.
Skin Stealer.
This is found in a lot of levels. Entity 10, because there's many of the entities. These are just some of the more popular ones or ones that interest me. Entity 10, more commonly known as Skin Stealer, are large humanoid entities that can wear the skin of their victims as a disguise. They eat human flesh when in a hunger state and otherwise roam aimlessly if they do not need to eat. Their blood is translucent and they can mimic human speech. They are most commonly found in the first three levels, but have seen in many other ones. Skin stealers are often docile creatures and will aim wanderously if they do not need to feed. In this stage, they will not be hostile unless you aggravate them. In a hunger state, they will seek out humans wandering alone and will use their strength to tear them apart with their own bare hands. Their biology, skin stealers are tall, pale, yellow humanoids with sunken white eyes. Their outer layer of flesh is covered in microscopic bumps, similar to the suckers on octopi tentacles. These stick to their skin and that is torn off of humans and push and pull on it to make fit until the skin stealer looks identical to a human. These bumps also pump blood and nutrients into the skin and to make it feel warm and alive, as well as to prevent decomposition. In addition, it heals the skin, hiding any cuts that may identify as a real human. After a period of 24 hours, the skin will be digested through the surface of the skin stealer, and the skin stealer will enter back to docile state. Kind of spooky, right, Count?
Yeah.
A skin stealer also has the ability to speak, but cannot understand language. It will repeat what it hears, often in varying languages, in order to lure in prey, but it cannot actually communicate. Although, since a typical skin stealer rarely uses their voice, this is not a good way to tell them apart from real humans. The blood of a skin stealer is completely translucent, so a good way to identify a skin stealer from a normal person is by their blood. Skin dealers' sightings have been reported over the 5 years since the backrooms have been created. As some of the most popular entities in the backroom, they are often found in the first entities new wanderers will encounter. The Bob's do's and don'ts. Do walk away slowly and calmly if you see one. Check anyone you are traveling with for clear blood. Don't trust anyone that barely speak or say random assortment of words. Do not aggravate the skin stealer in its docile stage.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, the whole aggravation point there, too. So you're saying when it's in a certain stage, that docile
Make sure you're bothering it during the docile stage.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I can manage that.
I have three levels I want to talk about.
Yeah.
The first one is the first level. This is the popular, like, image of the backrooms you see. It's level zero. There's a class list in the backrooms levels that vary in difficulty and how to get through them, or if you're going to die, whatever it might be. This first level zero is considered a class one. It's safe, secure, and minimal entity count. Just very eerie. Level zero is the first level of the backrooms and is the first level many encounter, because you don't always start at level zero. You could be thrown in the most like hardcore situation ever your first level in, but many start at zero. Level zero is non-linear space resembling the back room of a retail outlet. Similar to its previous form, all rooms in level zero appear uniform in shape and share superficial features as yellowed wallpaper, damp carpet, and inconsistently placed fluorescent lighting. However, no two rooms within the level are identical. The installed lighting flickers inconsistently and hums at a constant frequency. This buzzing is notably louder than the more obtrusive than ordinary fluorescent humming, and an examination of the fixtures to determine the source has been inconclusive. The substance saturating the carpet cannot be consistently identified. It is not water, nor is it safe to consume. So
Don't
drink the weird fluid coming from the carpet, guys.
Good to know.
Linear space in level zero is altered drastically. It is possible to walk in a straight line and return to the starting point, and retracing your steps will result in a different set of rooms appearing than the ones already passed through. Due to this, the visually similarity between rooms, consistent navigation is extremely difficult. Devices such as compasses and GPS's locators fail to function within the level, and radio communications are distorted and unreliable. Level zero is entirely still and devoid of life. Despite the fact that it is a primary entrance to the back room, contact with other wanderers within this level have never been reported. Presumably, a great number of people have died before exiting, the most likely causes being dehydration, starvation, psychological trauma due to sensory deprivation and isolation. However, no corpses have ever been reported in these hypothetical deaths. Attempting to enter level zero in a group will result in separation of the group until the level is exited. Hallucinations are common in level zero, but the most common being humming from the lights increasing to deafening volume and then abruptly silencing. The appearance of doors, the appearance of stairs, acute deja vu, human-like speech resembling no known language, movement and peripheral vision resembling insects crawling underneath the wallpaper, which disappears once it's observed directly, instant insect-like chittering. According to analysis, the CO2 levels within level zero are rising at a steady rate. The significance of this is unknown. There are no entities to be known to exist in this level, including other humans. If you see, hear, or encounter what you believe is another wanderer, we assure you it's not human. So here, there, every room in the back rooms has an entrance and an exit. The entrance to zero is accidental. No clipping of out of bounds of reality is the most consistent way of accessing level zero, and by the extension, the back rooms. The fortress of level 283 rarely contain wooden doors that smell of mold. Entering these doors will lead back to level zero. We're not talking about 283 today, but just know that you can get back to zero from 283. Exiting zero is only possible by no clipping, which will always result in entry to level one. As newcomers to level zero are often unfamiliar with the mechanics of the back rooms, it is necessary to keep your bearings and adapt quickly to the environment in order to exit. Entrance to the Manila room is rare, but possible while walking a great distance in any direction, unlike level zero. Wanderers can meet freely in the Manila room, but the room has a dead end. Rather, it functions as a rendezvous room for wanderers that survive the trek. So that is, that's the level zero. It's just an empty room with lights and seeping carpet.
Well, you mentioned the stairs at one point there, and they always say stairs in these rooms are always kind of tricky to maneuver around.
Yep. So you got to get out of there the same way you went in. You got to find out how to clip out of reality.
Yeah.
All right. My next one I want to talk about is level 40. Mm-hmm. This one's a class one. It's safe, secure, and minimal entity count. Level 40 is the 41st level of the back rooms. This level seems to be an infinite arcade building with some fairly strange oddities. Level 40 resembles a mid to late 1980s arcade with various games and media you would expect in the time period. From many signs placed around level 40, it is seemed to be called Roller Rockin' Pizza. Yeah. The level itself holds some intricate designs and patterns on the numerous surfaces, such as dark blue neon carpet flooring and concrete walls, both of which are covered in graphics and planets and stars, which resemble a flow with spaceships and spacemen. Vending machines and other food dispensers are present within level 40, containing a selection of various snacks and other consumables. Although almond water hasn't been seen within the level. Almond water is like the good water you can drink in the back rooms. Mm-hmm. The quality of the food seems to be fairly fresh and safe to consume. However, such food is covered in a dressing known as General Starfire's Universal Sauce. Mm. The sauce itself has a lime green glow and contains many shiny star-like specks. Current advertisements shown within level 40 from posters and TV commercials claim that the sauce can imitate the taste of any food product, hence the name Universal. The substance is undergoing research at the current moment due to the fact that countless people who have consumed it seem to believe that they are a space cadet in General Starflare's Space Corps. More information will be released soon. In the meantime, we advise that you do not create any attempt or try the special sauce. The many vending arcade machines can hold a sign paper that says out of order written on them, presumably in black Sharpie. Multiple TV stations are set up around level 40, which may contain commercials for various items that have seemed random and unbelievable. These commercials that have been recorded goes as follows. A new gigantic size of an adventure in star a system-wide selection of taste, including General Starflare's Universal Sauce. A whole new world of flavor. The perfect addition for every space cadet's adventures to the stars. Only at Roller Rockin' Pizza. Call 404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040-404-040- time General Starflare figurine ready for action. Sign up now. And the commercial cuts short on the black screen and before ending abruptly. The next one will go, "Hey, hey, 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 yeah, you. Look over here, it's us, the Backrooms Remodeling Co. Have a death trap next to your home? We got it taken care of. Have you a constantly shifting hall in your house? We could stop it. Have an infestation of all kinds of creatures? Well, we can't really stop that by ourselves, but I promise we know this really good exterminator guy. He'll get that icky infestation dealt with in no time. And you want to know something even better? Well, I can't tell you to do or not. but it doesn't matter, because you will get a free renovation after your first attempt. All for free. Wait. Don't we already work for free? We don't even get paid. You know what? Whatever. Just come contact us out at... How does anyone find us again? The advertisement ends. Yeah. And then lastly, this advertisement is comprised of various music with text on the screen and image bar of Entity 65. Tickets are open to see Mickey playing with Molly's Comedy Club and Bar. Feel free to hang out as long as you'd like. We have cool stuff planned for you all. Just look at the sign and you'll find us. See you at the party. There were many advertisements recorded, but most were completely unintelligible or completely corrupted beyond repair. There are many other advertisements that are not recorded but can be seen in level 40 in various other levels. The rest of the level includes many arcade machines from various games in the 80s area, all functional and mostly playable, unlike the various arcade rooms in another level 25. Some of the more popular games from the front rooms, by the way, front rooms is what in the Backrooms universe, front rooms are considered what we live in this reality.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Such as Rampage Blastoroids, Space Invaders Defender, Robotron 2084, Joust Gauntlet 2, and many more. Some arcade games contained within level 40 are not presented within the front rooms. Some appear to be nameless with random objectives. The ones you do have names that are documented goes as follows. Yoinkus 2. The main objective is to yoink the other opponent into a river on either side via a ball that you can throw at varying speeds. An anomalous property found is that the speed is high enough the glass on the screen can crack and will eventually break where one of the characters can consistently throw the balls towards the wanderer in that reality. However, the throw is very light, so it won't cause any damage. There is Googler Space. You can play as a captain of a ship, and as you drive the ship to avoid asteroids and gunfire. The premise is fairly simple and seems to last infinity. No known oddities have been found as part of yet. Tabletop, a simple game where you have to catch different foods that fall from the sky to avoid simple hazards via jumping. However, the difficulty of the level is increasingly more difficult and anomalous to the point of the character begging for help and seems to remember the user if they have played Tabletop before. When the character dies from one of these hazards, they don't seem to come back until you decide to visit level 40 again. The Grand Finale seems to be an average top-down racing game for its time. However, the cars just seem to freeze in place after round 12 and the screen will start corrupt with everything disappears. Soon after, the screen will display only one word, and that is why. And then there's also, finally, General Starflare Wild Space. The game tasks and mechanics resemble the popular Front Rooms game Pokemon, as you have to capture other life forms in a ring-like device that allows you to use them to battle against foes. Once far enough into the game, the surroundings don't seem to work, and eventually the user completely disappears instantly without a trace. It's probably advised to avoid that game at all costs. Due to all this, the studies on these anomalous games have been halted until further notice. Multiple arcade cabinets seemingly being used by strange force referenced as customers. This force seemed to be intelligent while playing various arcade games, completing tasks in the games are well programmed with. Some were even able to cheat using different kinds of bugs and exploits. So what'd you think of that room count?
Bob, this room had the most colorful cast of characters, I think, for sure. I mean, geez, this room had everything. How many people were crammed into this room, Bob?
Oh, there's, you can, whoever you find wandering through.
I guess it's your mind, so it's really, the room could be as big as you really want it to be, but some of these folks sound a little more extravagant than others. Some sound like a good bunch to hang around with. I mean, some were some fun-loving people in there, I feel like.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about the last one, and this is Unsafe.
Unsafe.
This is all Class 2. This is Level 81. Level 81 is the 82nd level in the back room, and 81 is a large cluster of office buildings. Level 81 consists of many office-like buildings similar to those found in the front rooms. The interiors of these buildings vary, but common themes have been noted. The walls of Level 81 can vary in material from brick to concrete to wallpaper and can appear in such colors as light blue, dark green, and yellow. These walls may also vary in texture and design. Equally, the floors of Level 81 may appear as carpet, concrete, or occasionally laminate wooden slates. Lighting in Level 81 varies broadly, attempts to determine whether the manufacturer have proven futile. Light fixtures may flicker and can cause blackouts similar to those in Level 0 and Level 1. Despite these imperfections, Level 81 possesses a reliable power grid and extension Wi-Fi. Windows are common and safe, but no sightings of any entities have been recorded just as of yet. When first entering Level 81, the level is unnaturally quiet. After wandering a few hours, various animal noises can be heard, and it is possible to encounter animals by following such noises. Many animals from the front rooms can be encountered, such as horses, pigs, canines, felines, cattle, bird, etc. Potentially dangerous creatures such as bears and lions are also present, though it is advised wanderers should not approach these animals. The leading concerning theory Level 81's large animal population is that 81 is a starting level for non-human creatures from the front rooms. In comparison to how Level 0 is the starting level for humans, Level 81 is the source of animals. So if an animal clips a boundary, they can end up in Level 81 instead of 0.
Just like that?
Yes. So that's the story of Level 81.
Level 81, not the best, not my favorite. I like the last.
You like the arcade?
Yeah, the arcade. The arcade was kind of fun.
That was Level 40. There's hundreds of these things that people have written. So next week we're going to do an SCP episode for Creepypasta Month because I like going back to the SCPs. But we'll have to do another backrooms visit here in the near future. But I love the things that people do for this, especially, you know, Pixel Keen that's doing those fun videos. You could check them out on YouTube. They do these as if they were found footage.
That's cool.
You know, why I like doing Creepypasta Month, and I always say this, is creepypastas are obviously fiction that people write about that I think people in the future are going to take serious and are a very potential thing that people can investigate or look at as folklore for the future. I do believe that things like the backrooms exist in, like I said, an etherical plane. If you're planeswalking or astral projecting, these places that you end up are very much easily explained, you know, could be described as things very similar in the backrooms. So, in my opinion, out of anything that we ever talk about really in a reality of creepypastas, I would say that this one's probably one of the more popular ones. So, or one of the most possible ones.
Ah, that's impossible.
Impossible.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a weird thing because they came along kind of in the past. What was the creepypasta? I mean, it's like decades.
Well, creepypasta have been around for, you know, since the dawn of the internet, just about.
Yeah, yeah, because it kind of goes with the whole video games and the things behind
the
that.
The TV shows, movies.
TV shows, yeah. But, you know, I think they kind of took on a life of their own. And people just started, again, you could do anything with your mind and create different rooms and kind of just took a life of their own. But that's what the creepypasta is.
Yes.
I think I got you there. Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Camera switched back, really jaunted me for a second.
I'm like, hey, Colin.
Yeah, there you go.
Welcome to the back rooms, Count.
The back rooms. The back not rooms. To be confused with the front rooms.
That's where we live.
The front room, yeah.
But Count, what'd you think of the couple of stories of the back rooms?
I like them, about? Bob. Again, some you don't want to be in. Some you do want to be in. The arcade did sound fun. Others, not so much. Anything involving a stair is probably not the best either. But Bob, a heck of a room episode. So maybe, who knows? Maybe we'll have to create our own room in our minds.
Absolutely.
What would your room have there, Bob?
All would be the radio studio with me and you.
The old one or this,
this one?
This one. This one. Okay. So, yeah. So we're already in our room.
Absolutely. Yeah. Count, do you have any closing words for our audience?
Bob, be careful what room you go into.
And
could be the back room. Could be the front.
Be careful of them no clips.
Yes, that too as well.
Folks, thank you for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me and Count Panic, we just want to wish you all sweet dreams. Mom, I know you're listening. I hope you have a good night. Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. And Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I know your 1 year is coming up quick, and I'm thinking about you every day. I love you very much. Good night, everybody. Remember, the two most important roles of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.